Good morning. 37 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Joining us with an update on missionary work and the persecuted church around the world is our friend Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and it's so great to have you here on this Tuesday. First up this morning, saw this story, and I wanted you to comment on it because I think it's very, very significant for our evangelism efforts in Russia and missionary work there. Russia recently passed a law that is intended to crack down on terrorism, particularly Islamic terrorism, but it is having a chilling effect on evangelism in that country. Can you give us a little bit of background on the law and tell us what it does?
Well, I think it has probably more than a chilling effect. It's actually shutting ministries down. In this situation, I think what is difficult is that the law just sort of erupted onto the scene, and there was no way to actually have a chance to have input in to the potential of the difficulties that it would create. Let me back it up for just a second and say the Russian Constitution actually guarantees the freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, includes the right to profess individually or together with others any religion, or to profess religion, no religion at all, to freely choose and disseminate religious and other views and act according to them.
Didn't know that. That's fascinating. You would not think that the Russians would have that in their constitution.
But that's found in Article 28. So, I mean, that's almost a quote of what the Constitution says. And Article 3 of the federal law on the freedom of conscience and religious association echoes what the Constitution says. So this law, according to the people who are on the ground involved with gospel work, is actually blatantly unconstitutional.
And so what does the law actually say? Obviously, as we mentioned, the intent, original intent, was to prevent Islamic extremism, terrorism, people from fomenting, uprising against the Russian government. Putin certainly wants to, keep control and crack down on those things. But then how is it affecting those who want to share the good news of Jesus Christ?
Well, the new law, I think, is a little too broadly written, because there are five parts of it that are causing difficulty for the people on the ground. Missionary activity shall be defined as an activity by an officially registered religious organization carried out by a representative of that organization. It just kind of keeps talking about who's involved with the organization and then what they're not allowed to do. So they're no longer allowed to have house church meetings. They're no longer allowed to gather together for prayer purposes or really anything like that. Bible and literature distribution has been limited severely, limited media and internet usage connected to the gospel message has been interpreted that way as well. Confining evangelism to a building that's registered in the name of a church. And then those churches have to go through a registration process. So the hoops have increased in who's going to be allowed to be considered a church. And evangelism in homes and private property is outlawed. So wow. It kind of covers everything. You're thinking, all right, if there's ever been a backyard Bible club, that's no longer allowed. House Bible churches or small groups, that's no longer allowed. Summer camps, no longer allowed. Opportunities for different kinds of maybe Bible clubs that you might be able to do, English speaking clubs or something like that. That's no longer allowed. The actual work of a church is going to struggle, because many of the evangelical churches are going to have a lot of trouble being considered for the registration of the church.
Because they've got to go through the hoops with the Russian government to actually become an official recognized entity.
Correct.
Now, again, this is, I'm assuming this is not singling out Christians. This applies to all religious faiths, but unfortunately it's having a major impact on missionary work there. In fact, I saw this story. A leader with the Ukrainian Reformed Orthodox Church was arrested under this new law. What happened to him?
Well, he's not the first leader to be arrested. He's been accused of slandering the Russian Orthodox Church. The difficulty, and we talked to Mission Eurasia because they have so much activity in Russia, and they've been really watching how this law is going to go into effect. Their concerns are more seeing the return to maybe Soviet tactics overall. So people can be arrested, they can be fined, they can be jailed, they can be shut down altogether. The difference is, according to Mission Eurasia, is that it used to be a state-driven Soviet atheist propaganda that was really creating difficulty for the body of Christ. The difference is now, according to what they're seeing, is that this is state-driven nationalistic propaganda bolstered by the Russian Orthodox Church.
Hmm.
So the Russian Orthodox Church has essentially been pushing out all of the other Christian groups in their competition, so to speak, and limiting the effectiveness of mission work overall. That is what the observation is for Mission Eurasia, who has people on the ground in Russia who have national serving on the leadership of the ministry. And this is very difficult for what the church is trying to do, and especially if you've been looking at some of the stages about 2-3 years ago where people were feeling like this is a great time to expand because things are becoming more difficult in other countries. So there were plans put into place to grow ministry, and those things are being kind of short-circuited. I just want to throw this in there. I mean, there's a lot more ways to see this law affecting gospel work. What we're hearing, too, at the same time, is that the movement of young Christian people in Russia across the denominational lines is actually starting to coalesce a little bit more. They are choosing not to obey the law, for lack of a different phrasing. The law, they see the law as contradicting the will of God. So Wow. they're kind of being put in the same position as their grandparents, who were coming out of the Soviet era and having, there was that seed of a remnant church that was existing at the end of the Soviet era. So when the wall fell and we saw that Iron Curtain parted, we saw a body of Christ that was already there. And it's going to be this young people, this movement of young people who are going to be leading the next generation church, who are being equipped right now because they see what's happening.
Very exciting to see that groundswell. So even under the face of, in the face of persecution, we have many, many Russian young people standing up and saying, I am going to stand for Christ, even in the face of what my government is doing. Our guest, Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio. Welcome back. 47 minutes past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Hey, so good to have you with us on this Tuesday after a three-day weekend. Bill Meyer with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Ruth keeps us updated on missionary work around the world and what's happening with the persecuted church. We've been talking about this new law in Russia, the Russian government, ostensibly to try to crack down on terrorist activities and Islamic extremism, has passed this very draconian law, which is impacting all religions and really is impacting the efforts of Christian evangelists and missionaries. And in fact, Ruth saw this story about a missionary couple from the U.S., Donald and Ruth Osaward, who basically were fined and now have left Russia and can no longer do their missionary work there.
Well, Ruth actually left. The understanding is that they're closing their ministry because it's not going to be workable under the way that the law is being interpreted. Don is still, I think, in Russia because he's still waiting for his appeal date for the next highest level on the Court of Appeals. My understanding is that after the arrest and the fines and all of that stuff, that he was trying to keep track of where things were going with his next round in front of the judge, just to try to make sure that he had a say in what was going on, that he didn't feel like this law was, you know, a just law, or that he really fell under that, because the work that he was doing, it has elements of missionary work per se, but there's so much more that he was doing that, you know, it was sort of like a tent making kind of a ministry. Mm. So how can all of that be considered missionary work? And really, is this fine, the $700 US, a just application of the law? Well, it's sort of one of those things where they said you're going to have a hearing for your appeal, and they didn't set the date. So he kept calling and he kept calling and he kept calling. And then all of a sudden, magically, ta-da, now you have a date. Oh, we've magically moved it. These kinds of things. So his vigilance has paid off. His hearing has now been set for September 12th at 11 a.m. He has attorneys in Moscow who will be present for the hearing. We're not entirely sure if Don is going to stay or if he's actually just going to go home and let the attorneys handle it at this point. Staying in Russia may be more problematic than helpful. Mm. So he's just asking that people pray the charges be dropped, that somehow people find a way to work within that system.
Go ahead, it's
a difficult situation because, you know, working within the system is anti-biblical for a lot of reasons. So, you know, you do have something that the Soviets, the Russians, did figure out how to continue to share the hope of Christ, even when the communist era was at its heyday. And so maybe they're going to have to go to that. But we also saw the same thing happen in China. So you have an above-ground church and an underground church, and both have elements of the gospel in it. So these are the things that we can be praying for that continue to happen with the believers in Russia.
Be praying for Don's hearing, which is coming up next week, that indeed the Russian government will do the right thing in his case. Now, I just learned that Franklin Graham has weighed in on this new Russian law. In fact, he says he is moving a conference that the Billy Graham Association was sponsoring out of Moscow. You have any details on that?
All I can say is that we've heard that, and it's not really a big surprise, given the nature of the kind of conference and the public exposure, I think, for the leaders that would be attending. This becomes a security situation for ministries, especially with the law and how it's being read and things like that. And it is a smart thing to be willing to support the body of Christ in Russia, also realizing that anything you do with them marks them as a target when they get home.
Mm. Putting people in harm's way, and that's something we definitely do not want to do. Ruth, moving to a different part of the world, you recently posted an article about Christian persecution in Southeast Asia and a prospective new law in Vietnam. What's going on there?
Well, this law has been kind of under construction since last November. And what we've seen is that it's also a communist nation that is trying to strictly control religious activities. They are trying to, under the guise of preventing terrorism, really keep an eye on what's happening with underground organizations. So they're trying to get everybody to register. They're making the official, I guess, stamp of approval to allow churches to operate above board. They're making that extremely difficult. They're coming down on the different church leaders with different charges of violating. Well, there's a lot of different regulations that get violated, and it's how they're read because they're broadly written. The law that we saw coming together in November was cause for concern. So people were asking the lawmakers to kind of look it over again and really get the word of other Christian leaders to try to soften some of the writing and to really get some input on that. So they claimed to have done that, and then they released a new draft law, and people were eager to see what was going on, but nothing changed. Mm. So it's really going to be a very similar kind of thing that we've seen in a lot of the communist nations, where the following Christ is an entirely different ideology from what is expected when you have communism. And you have this nationalism that's built into kind of, it's almost a Juche of North Korea, where the leadership and the government itself becomes the deity that really is the predication of law. And so it becomes extremely difficult for anybody who goes outside of that to practice freely following Christ.
In other words, your allegiance needs to be to the state, and if it's to anything else, including to Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted.
Exactly. And that is what we're seeing happen in Vietnam once again. The law has not been brought into on the books, so it hasn't been signed. but we don't really know what else can happen. So this is where the believers, you know, the Voice of the Martyrs Canada is coming alongside them and saying, we're trying to equip people to be ready for when this actually goes into place. We want you to keep praying for these believers. We want you to pray that they have wisdom and creativity and that the gospel continues to go out in spite of what the law says. God can do that. But they would also like to be able to see something change. And that would be an amazing thing, you know, around the world where you could say, we were praying and this law changed. So it's both and.
We've just got about a minute and a half left, Ruth, but tell us what's happening in Cuba. You recently featured a story about some Christian persecution there and the government cracking down on churches.
And again, you're seeing a very common theme here, and that's communism. Vietnam, Cuba, Russia, they're really all going back into that whole communist ideology and embracing it fully. So in spite of the fact it looks like you're having more freedoms in Cuba, it's kind of going the exact opposite way for the people who aren't really towing the expected line. And Christians have always been on that target list for Cuba because they're just a little bit different. And Cuba, the government has been finding reasons to be able to tear down churches, whether it's because they didn't have the right permits or the people that are gathering are in violation and they keep violating the law, so they're going to remove the cause of the gatherings, or if it's something else. You're seeing a situation where the backlash is really coming against the church, especially because there's this push-pull tension on people who think that the Christians are to blame for this freedom, this apparent move toward embracing the Western culture.
In other words, the church is identified with Western culture, and the two are seen as one and the same.
Oddly, yes. It's hard to explain it, but Christianity is seen as a Western religion, as a religion from the Europeans and from the Americans. And so it's considered suspect by those who are involved with like the communist ideology. So believers in Cuba, this is nothing new. It's just kind of ramped up a little bit. They're already used to operating within a certain level of security issues. Just be praying for them. Vision Beyond Borders goes in there and they bring supplies that are needed. They come in and encourage the pastors, the church body. You're talking about people working within some very difficult circumstances, and they just want to know they haven't been forgotten.
Ruth Kramer, thank you so much for your time today and for keeping us updated on these very important issues.
Thanks for having us.